are delighted, speaking of enlightenment, to bring back Community Business with Catherine Austin Fitz. We know that people out there wonder what happened to Catherine when she disappears, but I suspect everybody who pays attention to this show knows we made a decision to devote 3 weeks to the slaughter of 1.5 million imprisoned Gazans with nowhere to run, and F-16s that it 20 miles, so it takes an F-16 about 22 seconds to travel the entire Gaza Strip. It was a terrifying situation, and we needed to give it that much time, and if we have to, we will go back to it. But no, Catherine has not been censored here by Flashpoints, and she is back with us, having been incredibly patient and supportive. Catherine, welcome back to Flashpoints.
It's great to be back.
Well, it's good to have you with us, and well, I want to start this way, and forgive me for the transition, but again, of course, it's always a privilege to have you back, and we have some fun, and then we get into some serious stuff. But let me ask you this. What do Zsa Zsa Gabor, Kevin Bacon, Steven Spielberg, and Baskin-Robbins heir John Robbins have in common?
Sounds like they all lost money with Madoff.
So that somebody made off with their money?
That's right. That's right. Would you invest the guy named Madoff?
Does Madoff have handcuffs on yet?
I don't think so. I mean, he's at home under essentially house.
He's in the townhouse arrest.
Right.
The three-story
penthouse prison.
Can we start this way? How could it be that these very eclectic and different kinds of people and smart people with lots of advisors and accountants, Kevin Bacon, Steven Spielberg, and John Robbins, whose transformational contributions have been recognized, what happened?
Well, I don't know how much the others had in, but Robbins had apparently his whole life savings.
The whole thing.
And, you know, the number one rule of diversification is try not to put everything in one place. Or bet the rain, you know, don't put your eggs all in one basket. So it was surprising that he had it all in one fund. The other thing that was surprising is, you know, John Robbins has been an incredible leader in helping Americans understand the implications of their food choices. And, has been a very ethical guy. And it's strange to see him putting all his money into a fund, which for all he knows could be putting all their money into Monsanto. And it's really a metaphor for what is happening across the board in America. We're objecting to all these different things, but if you look deeply into our portfolio, we're financing them. Now, I can't tell you how many people who, objected to what was happening in Palestine, but if you look at their portfolios, I could show you how they were financing a lot of it.
Give us an example of what that means.
Well, most of us have money markets and buy different government agencies and treasury securities, and we're financing, all the aid that America gives to Israel. And if you look at the banks who are doing business with Israel, we're depositing in those banks. If you look at companies who are involved in a big way with Israel, we're financing them, and on and on and on. And we're giving political contributions to the politicians who end up supporting these policies. So if you look at our money, it's interwoven with all the different enterprises that are supporting or encouraging this.
And it's interesting because, of course, they're talking more and more about apartheid, Israeli style. Of course, now we've seen a bit of white supremacy with advanced weaponry, so skin color, so it turns into terrible things. But we see the economic boycott of Israel growing. Now, that's interesting, and South Africa was an interesting model because, in a way, you're not talking about a boycott, but you're talking about a boycott in the sense of boycotting the typical system that empowers the banks to invest and support a war against innocent peoples.
Right. If just in your mind, you know, as a matter of imagination, Dennis, if each one of us just said, look, I'm as I go through the day, with whoever I give my time and attention to, or whoever I transact with, whether it's deposits or donations or purchases, I'm going to pay attention to withdrawing from evil. I'm going to try and put as many degrees of separation between me and my time and my money and things going on in this world that I feel are evil or wrong. And I'm going to try and implement that accountability, but do it in a way that's energizing. I mean, one of the interesting things, if you live your life that way, you have a much better chance of not being involved in fraud and having your money stolen, because you're trying to do business with ethical and sound systems. Now, you know, no system is perfect, so it's not a perfect, you know, it's not a guarantee. But if every one of us did that, and then as we went through our life, turned to the endowments at our church and temple or the endowments at the universities that we went to and support with our donations and started to ask the same questions and pressure them, the shift that could occur is absolutely enormous, just enormous. And the amazing thing about it is right now what we're watching is capital. Somebody asked me today a question about capitalism, and I said, well, capitalism is a system in where capital flows to the most productive as opposed to flowing to the least productive. And when you give, you know, $8 trillion to Wall Street to make up for their failures and losses, that's not capitalism. That's flowing capital to the people who've messed up and been the least productive. So the way to shift this, and the question is how are we going to get political leverage, is we start to shift our own money.
All right, and we're going to come back to that, but let's talk a little bit about some news today, I guess, and this comes in the category of billions of dollars on a non-accountable basis, but the U.S. House of Representatives now is preparing,
They voted this afternoon.
Oh, did they? Yeah, so they passed voted. This yeah. $825 billion economic stimulus,
and
Obama said he was confident the bill would... essentially, the bill would pass, and it did pass, and it would help people, help quell fears, and get people back on the right track.
Well, if you look, you know, the biggest economic problem in most communities is that you have a negative return on investment on the government money. So more government money is going to keep liquidity going, but it's not going to solve the problem. If anything, it's probably going to make it worse.
Now, you say more government money. They're going to print money to counter...
Well, they're going to print or borrow, and then they're going to spend, and they're going to spend in a way that encourages some things and doesn't encourage others. Now, for part of this stimulus package is a tax refund. A lower taxes. I guess it's a rebate, $500 or $1,000 for a individual or couple. So about a third of it is lower taxes. And there's a tax credit for first-time home buyers and some other sort of tax benefits. And then you've got, in the remainder, you've got money for infrastructure spending, for more sort of police stuff, money for healthcare, including a database for healthcare, a centralized database, which I refer to as bye-bye privacy, and then some money for alternative energy. But again, it's Dennis. When I was at the Department of Housing and Urban Development, we did a study of the sources and uses of all government money in a place. And what we discovered was the single most powerful economic stimulus the government could do within a place is to stop doing those things that they were that was harming the place. So in other words, we didn't need government to do something. We needed government to stop doing it. And of course, the number one stop doing that's going to come up is we're coming into tax dates on March 15th and April 15th. And if you look at the taxes that people are going to be liable for or pay, particularly given some of the debt problems, $500 or $1,000 is not going to do it. So the tax burden and fees and other regulatory cost burden to the average American are just, they're high and rising, particularly for small business, which is there are two economic or job engines in America. One is the military and the other is small business. And we're basically squeezing small business.
You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. That's the voice of Catherine Austin Fitz. She joins us almost every Wednesday for a segment we call Community Business, and we talk a lot about what's happening on Wall Street and what it has to do, if anything, or everything with Main Street. And the theme of the show, and maybe we could just sort of restate it, Catherine, the theme running through the series of interviews that we've done is really about investment, keeping the investment local, keeping the community engaged with a great understanding of where the money is going and what will best benefit the local economies.
I think, you know, the way I think of it is think of a person as a person or a family as an atom and a community as a molecule, and the planet is the body. And the body can't be healthy unless the atoms and the molecules are healthy. Right?
I guess.
Well, if you have entities called corporations and banks, which are draining all the wealth and taking control of communities in an unhealthy way, you can get, you know, about 1,000 corporations to be really wealthy, but all the communities are drained and dying, and so the planet dies. I mean, that's an economic model where human and living capital is being destroyed to create financial capital for a small group.
Well, now, what is really frustrating to many people who are just sort of watching this and trying to live, understand a little bit about it and live their lives and get through it is that all the scandals, all the things that have reverberated so far about the subprime and about all the outrageous wheeling and dealing and risks that are being it hasn't stopped. We see somebody like John Thane, Merrill Lynch, being engaged by the administration after what was he doing at Merrill Lynch? Why would he be an advisor to the government?
Are you talking about the fellow who was fired by Bank of America, John Thane?
Yeah, and then didn't he start at Merrill Lynch, or is Merrill Lynch?
He was the head of Merrill Lynch, and then Bank of America bought Merrill Lynch, and then he was just fired. And you know, part of the issues were the year-end bonuses he'd paid, and apparently spent $1 million redecorating his office was the allegation. And now he's fired back, so it's, you know, it's all sort of going back and forth, he said, she said. But it, you know, Dennis, what it does is it's a representation of a culture which is completely divorced from reality. We just saw Citibank just canceled a $50 million corporate jet order. AIG was just announced as making $1 billion of retention payments, including $450 million to the unit that was was credited with causing the multi-billion-dollar bailout of AIG. So we're watching literally billions and billions and billions go to the institutions who are guilty of this kind of incredible fraud and waste and destruction, and to the very people who helped engineer it. And I think, there are two issues. One, how could it get this bad, and why is it that, quote, anybody isn't doing anything about it? One, it could get this bad because it's been going on for quite a long time. And most people in America have taken the position, as long as they're getting, a small kickback in terms of good performance on their on their financial assets and, the money's rolling their way, most of us have been happy to go along with it and finance it and treat these people as though they're to be admired and credible. You know, you welcome your daughter marries a partner from Goldman Sachs, you welcome him at Christmas. So they're treated as socially respectable. And we haven't seen a broad-based effort to say, look, you guys are scum. We're shunning you. I mean, tomorrow, if everybody woke up and just shunned all of these institutions, it would make a huge difference. And yet, most people sort of take the position, well, I'm only one guy. There's nothing I can do. So I'm going to go ahead and have my brokerage account or my bank account at these firms. So that's number one. The second thing is most people in America who are not part of the insider group, who are not part of this party, are struggling just horribly. You know, they're struggling with their health. They're struggling with their finances. They're busy. They can't. One of the biggest problems I found, not just now, but during the housing bubble when everything was, you know, the party continued, is most people cannot fathom this kind of evilness. We're talking about a group of people who look at most Americans the way you and I would look at livestock. In other words, they look at most people as though they are a different species and a lower species. I mean, it was the attitude I used to run into Washington and Wall Street. You know, there used to be the joke that the Bushes referred to Americans as the useless eaters. But, you know, you would work with a campaign lobbyist, and they would just say unbelievable. I mean, they would talk about most Americans as though they were subhuman. And when you spend a lot of time in the country, or you live in a place where I do, in a rural farming community, most Americans are really wonderful, decent, and remarkably generous people. And they can't fathom that anybody would behave this way. They can't, they literally cannot fathom it, because, you know, the stealing and the, you know, they're being killed invisibly, either, you know, in something having to do with their health or their finances. So nobody's riding into town and shooting them. They can't see the enemy. It's invisible.
Well, the people not too far from you, Catherine, had to deal with the attack of coal ash. I mean, the enemy came right to the river.
Right.
What does that have to do with local control? You know, where does that come into the picture? What happens when that occurs, when that comes up?
Well, what happens when that occurs? I mean, the ideal thing to happen in that situation is for TVA to take responsibility and do everything in its power to truly clean up. You know, I don't know a lot about the details of how it happened or what they're doing. But that's an instance where both local and state government, and in my experience, state government in Tennessee is quite capable and good. So, where the governor, the counties affected and all the different counties along the river, really make sure that cleanup happens and happens properly. Because you're seeing, one of the things you see in the stimulus package is an interest in investing in the waterways and in preserving the natural infrastructure, particularly of water. And we're the home of Bill Dance. I don't know, have you ever watched Bill Dance's fishing TV show?
No, I don't think so. I might have.
I'm telling you, it's a huge hit. I bought my house from his son, Bill Dance Jr., and I have to tell you, it earned me respectability with a whole group of my relatives that I never had before.
You mean the Fisher people?
Fishing people. And, well, fishing's very serious in Tennessee.
Oh, I understand.
And Bill Dance has a program called Signature Lakes. Now, for that to be going on in Tennessee, and Tennessee see that as an important part of its growth and development and preservation of the natural habitat, for the TVA incident to happen here is, you know, going exactly contradictory to where the governor's efforts are trying to go. So I'm hopeful that Tennessee will really organize to make sure that gets cleaned up, because the Tennessee River is so important here. But it's a perfect example of, of the risks that we take and we continue to take as we have a non-sustainable lifestyle, and there's tremendous pressure on every enterprise to make this year's profits by cutting corners.
Now, we have about 90 seconds until we take a break, so give me the 90-second version of your response to the expansive and devastating bailout of AIG.
Well, AIG is an organization which has been, the allegations about their involvement in all sorts of dirty business and dirty money are continuing. You know, there's a drumbeat, and I personally dealt with AIG in one context and just found it to be, as one lawyer said to me, I just hate dealing with them. And so this is an organization which is not adding a lot of value to society that I've ever seen. And so for it to come in and get this kind of bailout and then turn around and pay, you know, $1 billion of essentially our money, I mean, and I think you have to juxtapose it. There's a wonderful financial newsletter this morning that juxtaposed the article about the AIG payments with a World War II veteran, 93-year-old gentleman who'd frozen to death in his house because his local utility turned off the bill, turned off the electricity because he hadn't paid his bill. So we're seeing one society that has no idea what the value of a dollar is, and another society that is really feeling real pain. We have the latest announcement, Dennis, is 51 million people may lose their job worldwide by the end of this year. And frankly, I attribute a lot of those job losses to the pump and dump activities of which AIG I consider to be a very, just from my personal experience with them, a very critical part of making that pump possible. When you fraudulently induce an entire planet, then these are the kinds of things that happen.
All right. That's the voice of Kathleen Austin Fitz, community business, a very interesting and visionary in economics. We're going to come back and continue on Flashpoints. You are listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio.